राम राम हरे 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 कृष्ण।
Yes, page 450 in my book. So there are two different editions of the book, so there are two different page numbers. Buddhir jnana sammoha shama satyam dama shama sukham dukham bhavo bhavo bhayam cha bhayam eva cha ahimsa samata tushte tapodanam yasho yasha bhavanti bhava bhutanam matta eva prathak vidha buddhir jnana sammoha shama satyam dama shama sukham dukham bhavo bhavo bhayam cha bhayam eva cha ahimsa samata tushte tapodanam yasho yasha bhavanti bhava bhutanam matta eva prathak vidha buddhir jnana sammoha shama satyam dama shama sukham dukham bhavo bhavo bhayam cha bhayam eva cha ahimsa samata tushte tapodanam yasho yasha bhavanti bhava bhutanam matta eva prathak vidha buddhir jnana sammoha shama satyam dama sama sukham dukham bhavo bhavo bhayam cha bhayam eva cha ahimsa samata tushte tapodanam yasho yasha bhavanti bhava bhutanam matta eva prathak vidha buddhir jnana sammoha shama satyam dama shama sukham dukham bhavo bhavo bhayam cha bhayam eva cha ahimsa samata tushte tapo danam yasho yasha bhavanti bhava bhutanam matteva prathak vidha buddhir jnana sammoha shama satyam dama shama sukham dukham bhavo bhavo bhayam cha bhayam eva cha ahimsa samata tushte tapodanam yasho yasha bhavanti bhava bhutanam matta eva prathak vidha Hare Krishna. So we'll read the word meaning. You can repeat after me. Buddhi, intelligence. Jnanam, knowledge. Asammoha, freedom from doubt. Kshama, forgiveness. Satyam, truthfulness. Dhamma, control of the senses. Sama, control of the mind. Sukham, happiness. Dukham, distress. Bhava, birth. Abhava, death. Bhayam, fear. Cha, also. Abhyam, fearlessness. Eva, also. Cha, and. Ahimsa, non-violence. Samta, equilibrium. Tushti, satisfaction. Tapa, penance. Danam, charity. Yasha, fame. Ayasha, infamy. Bhavanti, come about. Bhava, natures. Bhutanam, of living entities. Matta, from me. Ev, certainly. Pathak vidha, variously arranged. Translation. Intelligence, knowledge, freedom from doubt and delusion. Forgiveness, truthfulness, control of the senses, control of the mind, happiness and distress, birth, death, fear, fearlessness, non-violence, equanimity, satisfaction, austerity, charity, fame, and infamy. All these various qualities of living beings are created by me alone. Translation responsibly, you can repeat after me. Intelligence, knowledge, freedom from doubt and delusion, forgiveness, truthfulness, control of the senses, control of the mind, happiness and distress, birth, death, fear, fearlessness, non-violence, equanimity, satisfaction, austerity, charity, fame and infamy, all these various qualities of living beings are created by me alone. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. So it's a very long purport, so I'll just read the continue reading the purport and just talk about it also. So here in this verse, Krishna is describing or explaining that all these qualities, intelligence, knowledge, freedom from doubt, all the positive as well as negative quality, fear and fearlessness, happiness and distress, they all come from him alone. So we'll talk about, there are two things. One, we'll talk about in brief all these qualities, what do they mean, and we'll talk about what is the meaning of when Krishna is saying what he meant when all these qualities are coming from me alone. What does it mean for us? So we'll go. Krishna says here, buddhir jnana sammoha. Buddhir is intelligence. Intelligence, and Krishna says here, intelligence refers to power to analyze things in their proper perspective. So what is intelligence? Analyze things in their proper perspective. And what is that? That is real intelligence. And the real intelligence is, we should know that we are part and parcel of Krishna. And our duty is to serve the Krishna. We are servant of Krishna and we should serve him all the time. That is the real intelligence. What's happening in the mundane world, we give in the mundane world, we are doing everything to focus on the matter, but we don't talk about the soul, we don't feed the soul, or we don't understand the soul, science of soul. All this, you see the medical science, they do all this physiological and anatomical research, construction of the body, they do a lot of research on it, and then they write voluminous books on it. So many books, but what's the use of that knowledge? Is that the real knowledge? That's not the real knowledge. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, the real knowledge is not only doing the research on this body, they should do the research on how this body is working. Who is the driving force behind this? Who is driving it? Who is making it, this body to move? Who is making our brain or mind to work? Who is making our intelligence to work? And Krishna says, the intelligence comes from me. It's like a child, when he sees a car, he feels as if the car is running on its own. But is that possible? We understand that car cannot run on its own. Car is being driven by a driver. And the driver is what? Spirit soul. We all have. So matter, unless it is touched by the spirit soul, it cannot work. Matter is dependent on the spirit to work. And that's the real knowledge. So real knowledge is like this microphone. The microphone is a matter, but it's not working on its own. It has been touched by the spirit soul, and that's how it is working. We have another spirit soul here. So everything, whatever you see in this world, whatever you see as working, they're all touched by the spirit soul. So that's the real knowledge. The scientists, they do all their research and they focus on the matter. But can they overcome birth, death, old age and disease? Janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi? No. Scientist, can any scientist say, okay, this is the injection. When somebody dies, you just inject this and he will be alive. He'll be walking again. No. Science cannot revive or make the people's dead bodies alive. The scientists cannot do that. They cannot, whatever they are doing, they do not understand that they are all working under the spell of this material nature. And this material nature is controlled by the Supreme Lord. Maya Dikshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, this material creation, the nature, is working under my superintendence. I'm supervising. He is a supervisor. And we are all controlled by this material world, by this material nature. Prakritahi Kriya Malani Gunai Karmani Sarvasa. Ahankar Vimudhatma Kartaham Iti Manyate. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Ahankar Vimudhatma Kartaham Iti Manyate. Prakritahi Kriya Malani Gunai Karmani Sarvasa. We are forced. Listen carefully, it's very important. We are forced to work under the three modes of material nature. Three guna. Guna is rassi. When you say three modes of material nature, three guna, guna means rassi. And we are all controlled, we are forced to work under a certain way, under the influence of these three gunas, the three modes of material nature. We think we are independent. No. This, you see the Bhagavad Gita? Can you see this photo? This photo here? It's very nicely described, this verse. Prakirtai kriya malani gulai karmani sarvasa. Ahankar vimud atma karta amiti manate. How these people are working? These three ladies, they are trigula. Sattugula, rajasugula, tamasugula. Mode of goodness, mode of passion, and mode of ignorance. We are like katputlis. We are like katputlis in their hand. And they are making, forcing us to work in a certain way. We have certain free will. Yes, you can argue that we have certain free will. Yes, Krishna has given us the free will. If there is no free will, then we become like a puppet, or like a, we are a puppet, but there is certain free will so that we can use that free will and go back to Krishna, go back to Godhead. And that free will is just to select whether to serve Krishna or to serve Maya. We have no third option. Either to serve Maya or to serve Krishna. You have to select one of those. Whosoever is not serving Krishna is serving Maya. We ourselves, other than 2 hours on Friday, we all the time we do that. Serving Maya. Whether it's wife at home, kids at home, boss in the office, or your employer. You're all serving Maya. So our free will, Krishna has given us a free will to select whether to serve Krishna or to serve Maya. There is no third option. We are not free. That's why we say, like, no, whatever happens, happens for good. Whatever is written will happen the same way. You can't, jitna paisa aapko milna, utna hi milega, kitna bhi haath par maar lo. We say, right? Krishna says, mamayuvan se jeev loke jeev bhuta sanatanam. And then second line is that prakriti sani karsati. So we are struggling with this material nature. We are struggling, we are trying to win over this material nature. How can you win it? Your weapons which you are using to win over this material nature have been given by Krishna himself. Are you trying to win him? How is it possible? You see? You're using his weapon to win over him only. You cannot oversmart him. Buddhir buddhi matam asmi. So I'm the intelligence of the intelligent. You cannot oversmart him. He's Krishna. So, we are simply the instruments in the hands of Krishna. We are the puppets. And we should accept that. Keeping our false ego aside, we should accept that, and then our life becomes very smooth. We are puppets in the hands of Krishna. That's why we have to work. All our activity should be directed to please Krishna. He is our master. We are the servant. So all our activity should be diverted to fulfill his desire. We should do whatever Krishna desires. That is the real intelligence. Working against Krishna or serving Maya is not intelligence. And what is the opposite of intelligence? Foolishness. So that is foolishness. So this is, he talks about here like around 23 or 20 qualities here, Krishna. The intelligence, he talks about one of the quality which comes from Krishna. Then he talks about knowledge, buddhir jnana. Buddhir jnana asammoha, jnana is knowledge. And knowledge, what is knowledge? Prabhupada explains here, knowledge refers to understanding what is spirit and what is matter. The knowledge, the real knowledge is understanding what is spirit and what is matter. Ordinary knowledge obtained by a university education pertains only to matter, and it is not accepted here as knowledge. Knowledge means knowing the distinction between spirit and matter. In modern education, there is no knowledge about spirit. They are simply taking care of the material elements and bodily needs. Therefore, academic knowledge is not complete. So, academic knowledge is all revolves around the matter. At least, whatever academic knowledge of all these universities, the big universities, MITs and Harvards and so many universities, they all giving us the education which is focused on matter only. They don't give us the knowledge of the spirit. And Krishna says that is not the real knowledge. Real knowledge is to know the spirit, to know the soul, to know the science of soul. That's the real knowledge. And that therefore the mundane knowledge, this is not complete. Sometimes we see they do a lot of research and write so many books and everything, but that's not the real knowledge. Sometimes we feel like, no, we are in the office or somebody so and so is very intelligent or very knowledgeable. Prabhupada gave an example. Prabhupada was a pharmacist and he used to work for a drug manufacturing company or some chemical company. And there was a problem. They used to manufacture the sulfuric acid, and there was a chamber, and they used to sulfur. They put sulfur, and it was fused, and the acid used to come out. So that was the whole process in that chamber. So it was not working. The scientists and the engineers, they were sitting and reading books. Why it is not working? The owner of that company was one Dr. Bose. Dr. Bose, he called another chemical company. A Mohammedan technician was there, and he was operator of that machine in the other company. He called him. He said, we have some problem with this machine. Can you come and fix it now? He came and he fixed it. While all these scientists and engineers, they were sitting there, they couldn't do anything. They were just reading the books. But that guy had the practical knowledge. He immediately fixed it. But that's not the real knowledge. We can't say, this man knew more than what scientists and engineers knew, but that's not the real knowledge. The real knowledge is not this material knowledge. The real knowledge is the knowledge of the soul. So, unless matter, as I said, the matter is not independent. Unless the spirit soul touches the matter, it's dependent on the spirit soul. The present day civilization is like we are focusing on the car, not on the driver. It's all doing everything to focus on the car, but not on the driver. Our scripture says that knowledge, the definition of knowledge in our scripture says, knowledge is one which makes us wiser and happier. Which makes us wiser and happier. Which takes us from darkness to light. Which makes us free from the bondage. So that is the definition of the knowledge in our scriptures. So if you really analyze the knowledge, this mundane knowledge what we have, is it really doing this? Is it really making us happier or wiser? It's not giving the real knowledge. Is it taking us from darkness to light? Is it freeing us from the bondage? No. It's just making us somehow a machine to make money. And that's why people, whatever we say, people are not happy. You talk to anybody, they may say they are happy, but really, truly speaking, everybody has got some other problem. Nobody is happy. Because this mundane education and knowledge cannot give us the happiness. There was one scientist, Ben Ford. He was talking to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was asking, what is the utility of your knowledge? What is the use of your knowledge? And he asked him 2-3 times. He got really annoyed. Why you are every time you are asking what is the utility of this knowledge? The knowledge what I have or what we have, He study about the plants, aquatic, this world, the environment, the space and planets and everything, the astrology and astronomy, just so that we can understand this world where we live better. And it gives us a feeling that we have a better control of our surroundings or this material world. Prabhupada said, this is not the real knowledge. So his concept of knowledge is like nowadays, if you see the people who have come to ISKCON, at least they are there for few years, they talk to the devotees, the real devotees, they will tell you, or the people who are sitting here, who have been coming to our program for the last 2-3 years, doing some chanting, following some regulative principles, they feel the difference in them. That gives you the, whatever you say, whatever way you say, whether you feel you are progressing spiritually, or you are having peace, or you are feeling holiness from inside, whatever you say, but it has changed your life in some or the other way, in a positive way. That's why you keep on coming every Friday and spend 3 to 4 hours here. I'm sitting here 5 or 6 years before, I was also when I started going to the program, after that I felt a lot of change in myself and in my family and in my children. That's why we are spending more and more time in it. So that's what it is. It's like university knowledge. The students who are coming from these universities, they have no idea. They don't know what is the goal of life. They don't know what they are supposed to know. They are they are in a boat on a sea voyage, and they don't have. When you are in sea voyage, what is the most important thing you need? Compass, a magnetic compass at least, right? To know, and the map. If you have a magnetic compass and the map, you can at least steer your direction and reach your destination. But we don't have anything like that. We are on a sea voyage in a boat, but neither we have the compass. Magnetic compass is giving us a direction. It's our guru. It's really, neither we have this magnetic compass or neither we have the map. So we don't have. We need to have a guru with a magnetic compass so that he can show us the direction, so that we can reach our destination. The degrees, we may have many degrees. We may have, might have got the golden medal in the college and the school, but it's not going to help us at the time of death. When the death comes, all this mundane knowledge is not going to help. So, that's why, and Krishna says in this verse, all these qualities come from me. What does that mean? See, all these qualities come from me. So whatever mundane knowledge you are getting, using the same intelligence what Krishna has given you. Right? Same mind and intelligence what Krishna has given you. So these tools, all these 20 qualities, these tools have been provided to us by Krishna. It's like if I am a dealer of, suppose, spectacles. If I give you specs with a red glass, you will see the whole world as red. If I give you the specs with brown glass, you will see the whole world as brown. So depending on your extent of your surrender, Krishna gives you these tools. Like, I decide whether I have to give you brown glass or red glass or clear glass or maybe opaque glass. If you are against Krishna, he may give you opaque glass. Like, I can give you opaque glass. You cannot see anything. And then you go and keep on complaining, oh, I can't see Krishna, I can't see anything. So this buddhi has been given by Krishna. I mean, Krishna doesn't want you to know him. He will make your buddhi so that you cannot know him.
The point I'm trying to make, this is all which we are using, whether to support our spiritual life or material life, is all given by Krishna. If I give you opaque glass, you cannot see anything. But if you are really surrendered as a good devotee and Krishna likes you, he can give you clear glass, so you can see Krishna. He gave Arjuna this divinetra, so that Arjuna could see Krishna in his virat roop. Tadami, and it says, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, the mudhas, they cannot know me. Namama dushkritino mudha. The mudhas, they cannot know me. What does it mean? He has given them the opaque glass. You cannot see him. So all these qualities, these qualities are not same in everybody. I have different IQ level, you have different IQ. Everybody has got different level, different percentages of these qualities, right? Everybody has got different IQ. So Krishna has given the different level of IQs to everybody. He says, Namam Duskritino Mudhat. Mudhat, he gives you the opaque glass, you cannot see anything. At so many places Krishna says and the same time he says, Tesham Satat Yuktanam. Tesham Satat Yuktanam Bhajitam Priti Purvakam. Tesham Satat Yuktanam Bhajitam Priti Purvakam. Dadami buddhi yogam tam tenu mamu payanti ve. So dadami buddhi yogam tam, he says, I give you buddhi. Dadami buddhi yogam tam, I give you the buddhi so that tenu mamu payanti ve, so that you can come back to me. If he's happy from you, you are really nice to him and he's happy, you are serving him nicely, he can give you the right intelligence so that you can go back to him. But if you are envious of him, then he will not give you a buddhi so that he will not let you know him. So he says, like, no, we cannot know Krishna by our endeavors. Another thing is, like, knowing this, that all the qualities come from him, should make us really humble. Isn't it? Everything is coming from him. And we talk about this scientist or whosoever it is, like the material scientists, they are using the intelligence given by Krishna to win over Krishna, win over this material nature, which Krishna says, this is all working under my supervision. So which is not possible. So they will never ever be able to win over this birth, death, old age and disease. Right? So, because he is the originator of all the qualities. So it will be difficult for us to win over him. So, once we know him, what happens, it should make us humble, and once we know his greatness, we become his devotee. There was one Prabhu in Qatar, and he was taking some initiation interview. In ISKCON, when you take initiation, you have to go through an interview. There's a written test also. There's a written test and interview so that you have the basic level of... Actually, first they give you shelter. Shelter means you are kept under the supervision of some senior devotee. And then after a year or 6 months, when you take initiation, that senior devotee will vouch for that you have followed all the regulative principles and you have been chanting 16 rounds and you are ready to take initiation. That time there's a interview or written test. And to ensure that you know the basic philosophy and you are at that level so that you can be initiated now. So in one of the disciple of Prabhupada, in Qatar, he was taking that initiation interview. That there was a family, and he asked them, what difference it has made in your life after you have come to ISKCON or Krishna consciousness? They say, we feel bahut shanti mehsoos hoti hai andar se, bahut shanti lagti hai.
normally we feel at peace, very peaceful now. Before that, we were very like, there was so much of anxiety and there was so much of agitation of the senses, but now we feel at peace. Like, he said, no, he wanted to know something more than that. He said, hey, tell me something more about it. What else do you feel? So now we feel more holier or holy, more pious. He said, so that you can feel, even if you go to some temple or some demigod, you can feel same thing there. That's not the point. Then this, he said, tell me something about, has it changed your attitude? He said, yes. Before coming to Krishna consciousness, we are all running here and there to satisfy or to gratify our senses. This party, that party, everything, like everything we were doing to satisfy or gratify our senses. But after we have come to Krishna consciousness, to ISKCON, after the first few years, we feel that we have got some higher taste. The taste for those material or sense gratification has gone. So they have got the higher taste of Harinam. That's why they say, if you want to quit something, you need to develop a taste, you need to get some higher taste so that you can quit the thing of lower taste. So they say we have got some higher taste, that's why the things which we used to do earlier, we laugh at them now. We can never do that. It does not, there's no attraction for those things which we used to do earlier. So that's the difference. That's the real difference. And that's all of us, we feel that in our life. So that's the difference it makes coming to Krishna consciousness. Then, Krishna further talks about buddhir jnana asammoha. There's another nice example. There was one senior preacher, and he went to South India to preach. And they told him, Prabhuji, don't talk about demigods worship. Otherwise, we'll lose our crowd. Some of the people will go away. So, in ISKCON, we know that, not only ISKCON, our scripture says Krishna is the Supreme Lord. And we say the demigods, we should respect demigods, but we should understand that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. That also happens like that. So we go, buddhir jnana asammoha. Asammoha is freedom from doubt and delusion. Freedom from doubt and delusion. Arjun, in Bhagavad Gita, he gave 5 reasons to Krishna not to fight the war. And after Krishna gave him Bhagavad Gita, he surrendered to Krishna. And what he says? What is that famous verse? Nasto moha smritir labdha. Nasto. He says, Nashto moha smritir labdha tat prasadan mayachyuta istho asmi gat sandeha karichai vachanam tava. Nashto moha, said my moha has gone, it's been destroyed, my illusion has gone. Smritir labdha, I have regained my memory by your mercy. I'm now firm and free from doubt. Gat sandeha, all the doubts have gone. Karichai vachanam tava, and I'm prepared to act according to your instructions. So that is freedom from doubt and delusion. So that is called asammoha. And how can it come? Once you are in Krishna consciousness, slowly, when you progress, all your illusion or delusion, you'll be free from doubt and delusion. Chama, buddhir jnana asammoha, chama satyam damashama, chama. What is chama? Chama is tolerance and forgiveness. Tolerance and forgiveness. And what is... there are 2 definitions of bhakti. We usually come across. What are those? The first definition is? Anybody? The definition of bhakti. Definition of bhakti, sarva upadhi, Hare Krishna Prabhu. Sarva upadhi vinirmuktam, sarva upadhi vinirmuktam. Tat pratyena nirmalam. Rishikena rishikesa sevanam bhakti ruchyate. Sarva upadhi vinirmuktam. What are the upadhis? I am Indian, I am American, I am short, you are tall, I am black, you are white. They are all, I am engineer, you are doctor. All these are upadhis. So sarva upadhi vinirmuktam. We should shed all these upadhis, all these designations. And tat pratyena nirmalam. Make our heart nirmal. Cleanse our heart. Rishikena rishikesa sevanam. And serve the Rishikesh, the Lord of the senses, the Supreme Lord, by all our senses. Bhakti Ruchite, that is bhakti. To serve the Lord with all our senses, to engage all our senses in His service, is called bhakti. So another definition of bhakti is Anya Bhilashita Sunyam. Anya Bhilashita Sunyam, Jnanam, Karmadi, Anavratam, Ankuleni Krishnanu, Ankuleni Krishnanu, Silanam, Bhakti Ruchite. So we should do everything which is required, which is favorable in developing Krishna consciousness. Ankuleni Krishnanu. Whatever is favorable to developing Krishna consciousness. Shila Ram Bhakti Ruchyate. Anya Abhilashita Sunyam. There should be no other desire. Anya Abhilasa. There should be no Abhilasa. That is Bhakti. There is a third definition that comes in Bhagavatam. Says, when the soul expresses its soul expresses tenderness of its heart to the Supreme Lord, that is called bhakti. When we say like that, he is a very hard-hearted person. Not the Prabhu. He is a very hard-hearted person. Like Jagaya and Madhaya, they were very hard-hearted persons. And when they were blessed by Mahaprabhu, their heart became very soft or very tender. So when the soul expresses the tenderness of its heart to the Lord, that's called bhakti. And when the same soul expresses the tenderness of its heart to other living entities, that's called daya. That's called daya. There's another term here, we say namrata. Namrata is what? Humility. And humility, the definition of humility is to respect everybody and not to expect any honor or anything in return. That's called humility. And Kshama is when we feel that I am very insignificant soul. I am very insignificant soul. I am destitute. I have no qualification. I have no qualification to punish anybody. So that's Kshama. Real Kshama is when you can do it but you are not doing it. If some very powerful guy comes to you, you cannot fight with him. So okay, I'll let you go. That's not Kshama. Kshama when you can do it but you are not doing it, right? That's real Kshama. So Kshama, they say, like, when you feel from inside that you're not qualified to punish anybody, that's Kshama. That's real Kshama. So Kshama, Satyam, Dama, Sama. So when we say, like, when the bhakti comes, we say, like, when you, in India, when you see the marriages and all, if you have any relative or friends and who's at a very top position or in politics, or you invite a minister in the marriage. He comes with all his security guards, right? They have this AK-47 or some guns with them. But you don't have to invite them. You have to invite the main guy who's being guarded by those security guards. The security guard, they come themselves, right? You don't have to invite them. Same thing, say, when the bhakti comes, it brings all the maid servants with her. What are the other maid servants? The Kshama, Namrata, means forgiveness, tolerance, humility, everything comes with bhakti. So when you receive bhakti, all these maidservants, they come with bhakti. It's like you invite the minister, security guards will come without any invitation. But the queen of bhakti comes, all the maidservants, they come on their own. You don't have to invite them. So buddhir jnana samuha chama satyam dama shama. Satyam. Satyam is truthfulness. Another 5 minutes. So we'll cover one more quality. So it's a very long long verse. Like it's a 20 qualities, and each quality takes at least 10 minutes. So it has to be covered in probably in the next class, in the next two classes. Satyam. Satyam is truthfulness. Truthfulness, so Prabhupada used to say that he was very strong in that. He said that the facts should be presented as it is. As they are. That's why we say Bhagavad Gita as it is. We don't say Bhagavad Gita as I think. Say Bhagavad Gita as it is. Prabhupada never had a second thought about it. Whether the person feels good or bad, he was very straightforward. And he never compromised any philosophy, and he was very straight and he spoke truth all the time. But we see in the mundane world sometimes, we say that we should not hurt the feelings of others. Even if we have to really manipulate a bit, even if we are not speaking truth, it's fine, but we should not hurt others. That is what people say, right? They say, Satyam Bruyat, Priyam Bruyat. Satyam Bruyat, Priyam Bruyat. Na bruyat satyam apriyam. Satyam bruyat, satya bolo, which is priyam bruyat, which is not hurting others, which is pleasing others. But na bruyat, don't speak satyam apriyam, which is not pleasing to others. That don't speak truth which is not pleasing to others. So satyam bruyat, priyam bruyat, na bruyat, satyam priyam, satyam apriyam. That is what as per the mundane morality. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati used to say it, this mundane piety and material, pious materialist. He used to say pious materialist. So pious materialists, they think like this. They don't say harsh words, don't talk ill about others, don't say these are mayavadis and these are this. Everybody, all the paths lead to the same goal. I am nonsense, you are nonsense, but you don't talk about my nonsense, I will not talk about your nonsense. We are good to each other. You are good, I am good. Whatever I say is correct, whatever you say is correct. This is all material piousness, pious materialism or mundane piety. So, Prabhupada was against it. He always said the facts should be presented as it is for the benefit of others. They may not feel good right at that moment, but in the long term they are going to realize that. There's a nice example. There was one industrialist. He had the glass industry. He came to meet Prabhupada, and Prabhupada asked him, "What do you do?" He said, "Prabhupada, I have a manufacturing industry and we for the glass. What do you do? So what we take silica from the sand and we process it and make the glass in my factory. So then you are a thief. That was Prabhupada's reaction. You are a thief. This guy was like, what he's saying? He said, yes. You're taking silica or sand from, it's provided by Krishna, from the nature. You're taking it from Krishna, or you're not giving anything back to Krishna. See, you are a thief. This all belongs to Krishna. So similarly, so he was, the idea is like, no, when we're talking about truthfulness, Prabhupada never thought about it. He was like very straight. He was very straight, like, no, whatever he wanted to say, he would say. Same thing, there was another example. There was one professor, And he came with around a dozen of his students to meet Prabhupada. And he was talking to Prabhupada. Then he told Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, I have done some research in the Goswami literature or something like that." Prabhupada started asking questions. When he started asking questions, this professor was exposed. He could not answer many questions. So Prabhupada, "You are a teacher or a cheater?" These were the words. "You are a teacher or a cheater. You're not supposed to teach if you don't know." And he told even the students, "You are following this cheater? Why you are following?" So that is what happens. Like, if you go to any university, or go to the humanities and social sciences department, you'll find a lot of these lecturers and professors. And they all have read scriptures, but they have read scriptures as if they have read any other book. They have no faith in that. And if you don't have faith, then bhakti is a remote possibility. You don't have faith, you have read it as if it's a Bhagavad Gita, any other textbook, any other mundane subject as textbook, and you have no faith in it. So it becomes like you have a bed, but you can't sleep, right? You have bed, but you don't sleep. You can't sleep. You have medicine, but no health. You have diseases. You have probably reputation, but no character. You have books, but no brain. So what is the use of the book? So what is the use of reading scriptures or books when you have no brain? They have same thing there. You have scholarship, but not bhakti. You may be a big, big, very high intelligent scholar, but you have no bhakti. You have no faith, then it's useless. So this is, I'll give you another last example and then we'll finish it. 8:32 now. Prabhupada was traveling in train in India, and he has some of his American disciples with a shaven head and everything. They were sitting in the saffron clothes. They were traveling with Prabhupada in the train. And Prabhupada said, "I will tell you something about Indians now." Say, "Okay, what is that?" So the Indians, they are the free advisors, you know. A lot of Indians, they come to me, "You do this, you do this, Swamiji, can you do this, and that will be very nice, can you do this, it will be very nice." And when I ask them, "Why don't you join me doing that? You are giving me advice, that's fine, why don't you join me?" Then they are not going to join. This is advice is for free. They'll give you free advice. But they will not join, they will not spend time, they will not spend money, they will not do anything. They'll give you free advice. And that's true. In India we see if you have... even if you're traveling, you'll say, I have headache. "Oh, Prabhu, that tablet is very nice. I had headache last week, and within 1 hour I was cured." Or they'll tell you that so-and-so doctor is very nice. "My son has the same problem, exactly the same problem. And this was I went to that doctor and he was cured." So it's a free advice. So everybody is an advisor. So then Prabhupada said, this is one thing. A second thing is, everybody wants Ashirvad. There are people, they come to me and they say, "Swamiji, Ashirvad." So this is very common in India. And the same time, they have two, three wealthy businessmen, they were traveling in the same train, and they barged in the Prabhupada's compartment. They came and they say, they paid obeisance and said, "Swamiji, we have been trying and we have been hankering for your darshan, and we are very fortunate to have your darshan. What do you want? What can I do for you? How can I serve you?" "Swamiji, Ashirvad dijiye." So Prabhupada said, "My Ashirvad, what is my Ashirvad?" He said, "These people are sitting here." He pointed towards his American disciples in the saffron cloth and the clean head, clean shaven. And said, "This is my Ashirvad. You want to become one of these?" In India, people come and they say, "Give me Ashirvad," because they want either the material wealth or something. So material benedictions or wealth, and say like, and he used to say, if you have a disease, don't come to me. Go to a doctor. If you need gold and silver, go to a jewelry shop. Why you're coming to me? I am a sadhu, and sadhu can only give you one thing. He can help you cross this ocean of material world. He can take you back to Krishna. I'm not here to give you gold and silver. I'm not here to cure your diseases. But I can take you back to Krishna. I can help you cross this ocean of material world. So that is... So with this, Krishna has given us all these qualities. These qualities are gift of Krishna for us. So we should utilize them. We should utilize them and we should serve nicely. We should surrender to Krishna. We should serve Him nicely so that we can progress in the spiritual path and go back to Godhead. Go back to Him, back to Godhead. And what the most important tool is to do that, you don't have to do anything. Whatever, even if you are having some attachments or material habits or anything, like you are not able to follow the regulative principles, just at least you start chanting Hari Nam. That's going to cleanse your heart. And after some time, when you develop the superior taste, the all these other sense gratifications, the things of inferior taste, they will go away. Your attraction for them will go away. That's guaranteed. That's a proven thing. That's not just a statement. That's an experience of everybody sitting here. You talk to Parikshit Prabhu, talk to Mataji, whosoever has been here in this line for some time, we can talk to them. And that's guaranteed. That's my experience. That's all the devotees, they experience the same thing. And Hari Nam is the name of the Lord is very, very powerful, very potent, very powerful. It's not that from the very, very first day you start having the full concentration when you are chanting. We are all doing a lot of Nama Pras when we are chanting. We are not able to focus, right? We're not able to focus, but slowly, slowly when you chant more and more, that concentration will come. But initially, you don't have to feel guilty if you are not able to focus on it. Tulsidas in Ramcharitmanas, when he describes the Nam Mahima in Balkan in 12 pages, and he says there's a verse called Bhagwan ka naam alas milo bhai kubhai japat alasahu. Bhai ko bhai, bhav se lo. Whether you love Krishna or you don't love Krishna. Bhav se, whether you chant with your bhava or ku bhai, or you chant without bhava or against the bhava. Like, bhai ko bhai, bhav hai ya nahi hai. Bhai alas, even if you are in alas, in laziness, like, still alasahu, even if you are feeling sleepy also, still you can chant. Prabhupada used to say, it's a medicine. Whether sleeping or standing or sitting doesn't matter. Medicine will have its own effect. Whether you take the medicine sitting or standing or running, or it's going to have its own effect. But if you are able to concentrate, then it's going to have much more effect or much quicker effect. So Hari Nam is not if you read the Ramcharitmanas, it's very nicely explained. Very nicely explained. It's even explained how the Sivji is chanting the name of Rama. And it's explained in 10 verses in Balkan. So very nice. And how the Parvati is chanting the name of Rama. Lord Ram. Hare Krishna. We could cover only, how many qualities? Like 4 or 5 only. Out of 20. So going to take 3 or 4 classes. Any questions or comments, bro? Yes, Mother. Fear?
Yes.
Bhagavad Gita says the fear is because of your attachment, because you are in illusion. Because of your illusion, and that's why you have this, you feel that fear. And the fear is the anxiety. So the fear is the fear of losing something. The fear of losing something. It's like if you are working, here you are anxiety. I may lose, if I lose this job, what's going to happen? So that's a fear. So that's because we have this attachment to this material world, to attachment to this illusory energy of the Krishna. But when you are in Krishna consciousness, for a devotee, there is nothing to fear. There's a fear of death. That's the biggest fear. And in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that's the biggest fear, the fear of death. And death can come anytime. Death can come anytime, and that's the biggest fear. And if you are a devotee, if you are a Krishna conscious person, then you don't have to fear, because you know your next life, at least if you're not going back to Krishna in this life, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Mai Bhaktya na Pranashyati. Arjun, declare boldly, Mai Bhaktya na Pranashyati, my devotee never perishes. So what happens, whatever spiritual bank balance you have from this life, it is carried forward to your next life. But your all material bank balance will not be carried forward to next life. But the spiritual bank balance will be carried forward to your next life, and it's guaranteed that you are going to get a better human birth in the next life in a very nice family, so that you can continue your spiritual journey. If in case you are not able to go back to Krishna in this birth, at least in the next birth, it's guaranteed by Krishna, the Supreme Lord Himself, you are going to take birth in a better family, in a Krishna conscious family, so that you can continue your journey further. Does that help? No? Well, okay, this is... This material world, it... Very valid question, actually, why this negative qualities comes from Krishna, right? It's not only fearless and distress. He says happiness and distress. Because Krishna says it's a jail. It's a reform house. It's not, we have been sent here because we were envious of Krishna. We wanted to enjoy other than Krishna. That's why we have been sent here. So for us, it's a punishment. It's a reform house. So Krishna is sending us here. If we have no negative things here, we have everything positive, we are so happy here, why would we want to go back? Right? Prabhupada used to say, it's like material world is like a toilet. You go to the toilet, you finish your business and come back. You don't want to sit there and like spend your time there. So this material world is a jail, it's a reform house. We have been sent here, it's a punishment for us. And when you are sent for punishment, you go to normal jail. If it's a thief or a robber, he is sent to jail, and he is kept in jail very nicely, and he is living his life in the jail better than he lived outside. He said, I'm here. I'm fine here. Why should I go out? So that's just why these negative qualities also come from Krishna. Fear is fear. Fear. Like Prabhupada gave one story for the fear. Like he said, when he came to America, and he came to Boston. He came to Boston. He said, like I was standing there. I did not know. Lack of knowledge also give you fear. I don't know where this bus is going, taking me. I don't know what to do. I was standing there. I have no money. I don't know what to do. That also gives you fear. This lack of knowledge. That also can give you fear. You are rightly said that lack of confidence also gives you fear. That is Prabhupada quoted this verse for the fear. Yes, Prabhu. It's a common question, like, because what happens, whatever Lord does is absolute. At that platform, there's nothing called, there's no duality. Whatever Lord does is truth. There's no, it cannot be other way around. There's no duality in that platform. So that's very, very, the understanding is. Right. Lord is absolute truth. In our level, we think like, no, it's a cold, it's hot, it's day, it's night, it's all dualities at that level. Even the Shuddha Bhakti level, there's no duality. Lord, whatever Lord does is truth, is dharma. Whatever he does is dharma. If he steals butter, it's dharma. Whatever he does is dharma. Whatever Lord says is absolute. It cannot be wrong. These are people say, like, no, Krishna used to speak lies, why should we speak truth? But Krishna is Krishna. He lifted Govardhan Hill when he was 7 years old. He danced with gopis when he was 8 years old. So if you want to dance with gopis, go and lift Govardhan Hill first. So you see, like, we don't have those qualifications. Like, if you can lift Govardhan Hill, you have qualification to go and dance with gopis. But what happens? Like, we don't want to do that. We want to dance with gopis only. We don't want to lift Govardhan Hill. Krishna is absolute. Whatever Krishna does is beyond any question. It's only is our understanding is not to that level so that we can understand that. That whatever dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. Whatever Lord says is dharma. There is no other definition of dharma. Whatever Lord says is dharma. That's Krishna.
Kinds of bhakti.
I didn't get your question.
See, definition of bhakti?
Yeah.
Three definitions of bhakti. The first was that sarva upadhi vinirmuktam, paripattena nirmalam, rishikena rishikesa sevanam, bhakti ruchyate. The second is anya bhilachata sunyam, jnana karmadi navratam, ankulene krishnano, shilanam bhakti ruchyate. The third comes in Bhagavat in one of the purport, that expression of the soul of its tenderness of its heart to the Lord is bhakti. Soul's expression of its tenderness of its heart to the Lord is bhakti. So that these are three definitions of bhakti. Hare Krishna. Okay, we'll go for aarti. Let's keep chanting. Yeah.